Would you love to have an out-of-body experience? Have you had one? In a moment, Marilyn Hughes joins us. We'll talk about her latest work, a film, How Do You Have an Out-of-Body Experience? And we'll also talk about her work in astral projection next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Marilyn Hughes back with us, last on with me a little more than 2 years ago. She has had a longstanding career in broadcasting as a news anchor, reporter, and producer. She founded the Out of Body Travel Foundation back in 2003 and has experienced, researched, written, and taught about out of body travel since 1987. Marilyn has also been the object of a scientific study on out of body experiences and a subject in several other research studies. Her latest film, of course, is called How to Have an Out of Body Experience. Welcome to the program, Marilyn. Welcome back.
Thank you, George. It's great to be with you.
How did a television anchor person get involved in out-of-body experiences?
Well, you know, if you're going to report on events in the world, you might as well report on events on the other side, right? So, you know, I started having the out-of-body experiences, and I kind of approached it like a reporter, started writing it all down and looking at it as, I've got to report on this, right? And so then the journals then became the beginnings of what became my books, you know. So that's how it all began.
And tell us about your first out-of-body experience. And did you know what was happening to you?
Well, you know, I guess I would say I had, you know, I kind of had two first out-of-body experiences, because I had one when I was very young, when I was 9 years old, which kind of was a precursor. And then I had what I would consider my first out-of-body experience in my adulthood when I was about 22. So the one that I had at the age of 9 was different than the one that occurred later, in that it was a beautiful, mind-blowing experience, in the sense that, you know, I entered into this vibrational state that we all hear about. And then it was the clouds, these billowing clouds all before me. And then the clouds began to part to reveal this beautiful marble staircase that went from right in front of me towards the heavens. And on each side of the staircase were standing these beautiful lighted angels who heralded up at the top of the steps two beings who were sitting on thrones, who at the time I perceived as God the Father and God the Son. Hmm. Of course, I was 9 years old, and I believe it was presented to me in a way that I could understand at the time. And then I slowly walked up those steps, and it was so intense, because every step carried with it such a profound vibration. There was an increasing vibration with each movement higher and towards that pinnacle at the top. But as I was approaching, I was then given an in-depth vision of my future, and I was shown things about how I would have a destiny that I had to fulfill down the road. And I was shown the cross, and the cross was on fire. And I had to bring some type of clarity and wisdom to the world. And of course, I had no idea what that would be, but that I was told that this type of experience would return to me at a later time, and that I would understand what I was to do. And then, you know, I was just completely and utterly, my world was completely rocked by that experience at the time. But eventually, of course, I just kind of go on with my life. And then at the age of 22, I had what I would consider my second first experience, where I was just sleeping, and suddenly I went into the deep, intense vibrational state, and I started lifting up my arm. And what happened was my lighted arm, my spiritual arm, came out of my arm. And so there were the two arms. There was the spiritual lighted arm coming out, and my physical arm was below. And I realized something was very different than before. There was these profound noises, this extreme roaring sound, which, you know, I now understand as the sounds of the astral plane, because it's a higher vibration than what we have here in the physical realm. And what happened was I continued kind of experimenting, and eventually I rolled over, came out of my body, and realized that something was happening. And the first time, I was very scared because I was worried that, oh, well, did something happen in my sleep? Had I died, you know? And then what happened was, because I was kind of freaked out by it,
sure,
in between, you know, the next experience, which happened maybe 2 weeks later, I had, you know, asked in prayer for protection, that if it were to happen again, that it would be done in a way where I would not feel afraid. And then the next time that it happened, it was so beautiful because on both sides of my body, I had three beautiful celestial angels, and they were, you know, golden angels of light. They were completely made of light on each side. And they pulled me out very gently, and it was a completely peaceful experience, and I had a completely different perspective just the second time. And, of course, this is now thousands of times later, you know, 34, 35 years later. and so, yes, those are just a little rundown of the first few times, you know.
Now, there have been some English folks from years gone past that had a tremendous influence on astral projection. There was a book called Journeys Out of the Body. There was another one called The Projection of the Astral Bodies. But they were Robert Crookall, Sylvan Muldoon, Hayward Carrington, and then an American, Robert Monroe. And have you dealt with any of their works at all?
Oh, definitely. I'm very familiar with Bob Monroe's works. And Sylvan Muldoon's. The other two, I don't know that I've read those, but I have read a lot of the books by most of the out-of-body travel writers and a lot of the near-death experience writers, and also a lot of the mystical theology from, you know, the ancient sacred texts, where we actually, you know, find that there is this great historical record from all around the world of people having out-of-body experiences throughout time, you know, and not necessarily calling it that, but it's the same experience.
What have you concluded that an out-of-body experience is?
Well, what I have concluded is that, I mean, it's several things, right? You know, an out-of-body experience is, first and foremost, you're separating the spirit from the body. And there's a big purpose behind it. And so, you know, I often just refer to out-of-body experiences as the big tool, you know, because a lot of people look at out-of-body experiences as like this big end-all. It's not the end-all. It's the tool to the end-all. And what the end-all would be then is that by being able to separate the spirit from the physical body, we find that not only do we have the ability to, you know, observe that, you know, our physical body there, or float around the ceiling, or even travel the astral plane, but what you'll find when you start reading my books is that you start traveling into infinite numbers of mystical spheres and realms, and it is an infinite universe of potential learning and transformation. What happens when you start having out-of-body experiences is that you accelerate your spiritual progression to such an infinitude that it's hard to even put into words. But the reason why is because the experience of traveling in your spiritual body allows you to access what I call the energetic truth, which lies behind every human interaction and which lies behind every human soul. And by being able to do this, we're able to cut through all of the all of the distractions and all of the things that we put up that guard us from the truth, that keep us from just getting down to the bottom line of why are we here, why did we choose to incarnate this time, and what are we going to need to do about that if we want to progress from this life into the next and utilize this lifetime to its greatest and furthest potential, like, you know, the great prophets, saints, mystics, sages, and ascetics from around the world who eventually ascended this realm and were done here, you know, rather than returning and doing a lot of the same things over and over again, the karmic circling, the reincarnational cycle, where we end up doing a lot of the same habitual patterns and behaviors over and over again because we don't see them. The out-of-body experience completely shatters those illusions and makes acceleration possible. It's profound. You know, we start the journey in a book that I wrote called The Mysteries of the Redemption, a treatise on out-of-body travel and mysticism, which is now in development with Ubiquity Entertainment, with Lisa Menzel and Kevin Cullum, and also Dean Lyon, you know, assistant producer of The Lord of the Rings and many other great feature films. We're going to bring that into a feature film series, that book along with its sequels, and bring the other side, you know, rip the veil asunder and bring a map to everyone who wants to find out what lies beyond this world and into the next. Because by doing this, by opening that door, we are opening the potential that lies within every single one of us, because this is not something that is meant for the few. It's meant for all of us.
Is the astral body your soul, or are we talking about two different things?
Well, the astral body itself is not your entire soul. What you'll find when you're having out-of-body experiences is that you're going to travel in different aspects of your soul, and then you're going to actually be taken through these transformations and initiations through the mysteries, rites of passage, and things where you will actually begin to accumulate into the higher and finer frequencies of your soul. So as you're moving through these purifications, you're going to actually find your soul actually grasping, reaching, and attaining these other energetic elements that bring you closer to what might be termed as your higher self, your higher soul. But there's many different energetic levels between what might be your astral body and then where you're going to get to some of these higher attainments. And then even beyond that, once you reach that higher self, there are attainments beyond that as well. And these are all like, you can look at it almost like a staircase. It's just individual levels of frequency that change, and you're adding a little bit more light and a little bit more wisdom, a little bit more frequency to that spirit, that soul. So the very first body that you will travel in, the astral body, will be the beginner spirit, and then you're going to go through a lot of transformations, a lot of purifications, and a lot of education, and all of that will lead through these things that bring you into these other elements of your soul. There's a lot of things that you do. So, for instance, you know, you start out with some basic things. You learn how to move around in the physical, in the spiritual body. You learn how to see, hear, smell, taste, move through physical objects, all that basic stuff. But then you start moving through the corridors, and there's many different types of corridors. There's corridors that take you through time, corridors that take you into the initiation realms, corridors that take you into higher celestial spheres, and believe it or not, there are also corridors that take you into purgatorial and hellish realms. There are corridors for all sorts of things. You go into these other spheres where you learn about your past lives. You go into spheres where you learn about your creative gifts or your intellectual gifts, and you learn to nurture them and to bring them to a higher level. You go through a lot of different levels of teaching where you're going to meet with many different spiritual teachers. A lot of people think you have like one spiritual teacher, one guide.
Right. We have many.
Many.
Well, yeah, we do. And through the astral projection, are we reaching certain levels of, I would call, the heavenly state?
You absolutely do, eventually. You know, when you're in the astral plane, you know, when you're talking about simply astral projection, which is in the astral plane borders the third dimension, which is the fourth realm. You are in a mortal realm, which is not a heavenly realm. It's more of a purgatorial type realm. So when you're projecting, if you're astral projecting in the astral plane, that's not a heavenly realm. You're in a purgatorial zone, but you absolutely do eventually move towards the heavenly spheres. One of the very beautiful things in the travels that I've had is that we find that it's in the galactic heavens, in space. We find where heaven is, and we find it traveling through black holes, going through different interdimensional portals. There are matrices that you go through to get to the heavenly spheres, and then there are other tunnels that lead into what would be the innermost recesses of heaven. And what is really kind of cool about the innermost recesses of heaven is that there is not just human souls there. There are souls from other worlds, in other words, extraterrestrials. And it's so natural there that nobody notices it because it's just the way it is. And so what you'll find is that you do move towards those higher spheres. And there's all sorts of wonderful, beautiful celestial realms to travel, you know, cities of light, the realms where the masters reside, the pure lands. The initiation realms are something that is just in and of themselves a whole nother subject to get into, you know. So, you know, there's so much on the other side. People are often confounded by just how much there is. A lot of what a lot of what the Mysteries of the Redemption does for people is to present them with a map of the other side. It gives them a way to approach and an understanding of what to expect when they begin to have these experiences, and it makes it less scary, less overwhelming. They realize that, yes, it's beautiful and vast, and I don't need to be afraid or intimidated by it. There is so much to be attained by being open to being instructed in this way.
It's amazing work, Marilyn. It really is. Can you out of body at will?
I don't do it at will. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people think that's the goal, but one of the things I learned very early on, you can train yourself where you will have it very regularly, which, you know, I do have it very regularly.
All right, hold on for a second. We'll talk more about this when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take your calls next hour with Marilyn Hughes as we talk about out-of-body experiences. We'll also tell you how you can watch her film, How to Have an Out-of-Body Experience. And definitely, if you've had one, check in with us. See how easy it is or how difficult it might be. And we're back with Marilyn Hughes, George Norrie back with you. Marilyn, I've always been told that when you go to sleep, your astral body is floating above your physical body in your dream state. Is that correct?
A lot of the times that's true. It's not always every single time, but yes. You know, there's a natural occurring thing that we have where we're being instructed while we sleep. And the spiritual world is interacting with our astral body and with our souls and on subconscious levels. So ironically, the out-of-body travel state, as we're trying to learn it, you know, we are actually trying to bring something that's occurring already up from the subconscious level to a conscious level. And so it's a little different, I think, than a lot of people think, because sometimes they're like, well, I don't know, I'm scared, it's something, should I even try it? And it's like, well, you're already doing it, you're just not aware of it. So what you're doing is you're making it conscious. And so it's not as big of a change as people often think.
What is the significance of being in the astral state?
Well, being in the astral state puts you in the spiritual body, which puts you in a position of being able to be instructed. And we go back to this energetic situation, this energetic truth that I spoke of earlier, where we are now able to be taught by the spiritual teachers that are brought to us. You know, we are brought different spiritual teachers as we go through different types and levels of attainment. And as we move through them, a different spiritual teacher will come in to take over and take us to the next level. When we go into that spiritual body, we become capable of receiving the vibrational thrust. Why is that important? Because one of the first things you learn in out-of-body travel is that information is not wisdom. Vibration is wisdom. And the way that we actually accelerate and go to higher levels of wisdom is through what I call vibrational raisings. We are actually put through these accelerations of this vibrational state. It's like they rev your engine. It's really intense, very powerful, and you're being revved up. And as they do this, you become capable not only of traveling to higher and higher spheres, but you become capable of understanding other kinds of knowledge that are now going to be downloaded and brought into your spiritual body. One of the things I was also shown early on was that when we try to travel to a realm that is higher than our level of vibration, it feels like we're being crushed. And why is that important? It's important because it tells us that this raising of our vibration is a vital aspect of us becoming more and more free to be able to travel to these higher and higher worlds in the world beyond the veil. And so everything that we start to learn in that astral body, which then becomes a spiritual body and other forms and higher bodies, is that it is that vibration which is the key to all the knowledge that we will attain. Because when you go into the vibrational state, you also attach to that unconditional love of God, you attach to that unconditional mystery of God. You know, when you go into these states, you have this momentary awareness of what everything means. It all makes sense. All the mysteries of life are available to you in those moments when you are completely within that spiritual body. And you take parts of that back with you when you go back to the physical. But once you go back to the physical body, you're detaching from those things. But while you are in that state, you are attaching to that oneness of all life, universal being, the field of all creation. And that knowledge is now available to you, and that is how your soul is accelerated into this spiritual training system that is so far accelerated beyond any other method. And this is because you're going directly into energy. You're bypassing all of our physical limitations, all of our distractions, all of our own, you know, personal illusions or delusions. We go right to the source. And that source and summit now instructs us. And that makes all the difference.
Since you've been doing this, has there been anything quite profound that you've come across?
Oh, my goodness. There have been so many things that are profound. It would be so hard to encapsulate. You know, I've written 104 books about this, you know. But yes, I mean, I have traveled to the throne room of God and experienced and been allowed to watch the movings and workings of the universe as it is literally altering and bending in the lives of millions of souls in 1 millisecond, all at the same time, completely cognizant of every single one. I have been to my own past lives and discovered the mysteries of my own soul and what it was that I have been missing all of these eons and needed to overcome so that I might try to ascend in this lifetime. I have learned the mysteries of heaven, hell, and purgatory and traveled to an infinite number of each of those realms and learned how to assist souls who are in need in the purgatorial realms and in the hellish realms. I've learned about lost souls and ghosts and been instructed and taught and then spent many, many years assisting lost souls and ghosts in crossing over to the other side. I've learned about the afterlife journey of many different souls and what happens to us as we go through that purification process after we depart this earth under a myriad of circumstances. I've been taken into the initiations, into the mysteries and the rites of passage, and those go into the mysteries of time and space and timelessness. I've been taken to the Galactic Council and learned a lot about extraterrestrial things, as well as things about the celestial hierarchies, gone to the 23rd dimension where the golden angels reside. I've seen the mysteries of the Holy Mass as it is played out in the heavenly spheres and shown to me in the 54 steps of vibrational matter and what's actually happening there. I've been shown the mysteries of the ancient sacred texts and the prophets, saints, mystics, sages, and ascetics, and the amazing keys that they've left behind for all of us to understand the nature of God and to transform our own path and have the potential to graduate from this realm of earth when we pass from this life by being open to hearing the words that they left behind when they were doing the very self-same thing. There's so much. It is so infinite. And I think what is probably the hardest thing for people to comprehend is out-of-body travel is not simply, you know, this, you know, separating from your body and floating around a room. It is literally traveling the universe. It is meeting with the masters in the pure lands and watching as they talk about their different missions in the redemption of worlds like our own and what are they going to do next and what are their plans. It's so much. It's the Assisi Marauders who reside in a different dimensional existence on the planet Venus, but who energize creation and the creative spirit on Earth and on other worlds like our own. It's, It's, you know, traveling through the stars and meeting the mighty archangels in the heavens and seeing where they reside and understanding the majesty of their work, watching Saint Michael as he is able to defeat a demon with a single thought, not having to exercise anything but a thought to stop an intrusion upon the earth realm that is beyond the bounds of what universal law will allow, and sitting on his back, flying with him, and watching the majesty of his actions, going to many, many schools that are offered in the spiritual world that many of us go to, most of us may not necessarily remember, but everyone goes to these schools where we learn about things like oneness, universal love, the love of God, the unconditional love of God, and these mysteries that we can only encompass in that spiritual body, the mysteries of God that just are opened up to us in ways that really can't be put into words. It's just something you experience that is so beyond words. There is so much. There is this beautiful tapestry within our universe where there is this continual unfolding and working together to assist one another in our evolution. One of the teachers that I had in my journeyings was Chief Joseph, and he taught me about alteration. And one of the beautiful things that I learned in the alteration pathway was about how we work in the spiritual spheres to alter things for souls who may be going astray and stopping bad things from happening to give people another chance so that something, you know, so that they don't die before their time and they might have a second chance to learn that lesson, so that someone who might be really struggling with a horrible loss might receive additional assistance from the celestial hierarchy, from the angels above, and from specific spiritual teachers who are sent to give aid, to assist souls who are tormented by their own memories of something that has happened to them, either in a past existence or even in just the astral plane itself, and they're trapped, they're stuck, and yet we are trained as souls to go in and help them. We help one another because creation continues to create, and we are all called to go in and serve creation as creation serves us. So we find that as these higher beings come from these higher realms and teach us, that we are then taught to do the same for other souls and for our sisters and brothers in the spirit world, but also we find that we are able to make alterations in the spiritual world that affect outcomes on the ground, in the physical world. It's an amazing thing to see what is possible and to see the power of prayer as it rises like lightning from the earth to the heavenly spheres and is received by the angels and acted on with absolute immediacy. The intensity of the mercy of God in that the moment a soul calls out for help from any realm, whether it be the highest heaven or the lowest hell, you know, going back and recounting what David said in the Psalms, but yet it is so true and I've seen it, that literally the moment a soul calls for help, aid is sent and it arrives in a split second.
What's the old saying, ask and it shall be given?
Oh, it is so true. It is so true. And, you know, it is also true, as you say, ask and it shall be given, that we ask to have these things opened up to us, to have them revealed to us. And, you know, ironically, even like with this film that we just released, my producer, Brian Malum, with How to Have an Out-of-Body Experience, and you can see it by going to our website at outofbodytravel.org and then going to the YouTube channel, and you'll see How to Have an Out-of-Body Experience along with a lot of other films that we have put out. But this will take you through step by step how you can prepare, get ready, and go through the processes that will help you get ready to have these kinds of experiences and be ready for anything that will come. And it is, you know, it literally takes you by the hand.
Marilyn, we're going to take a quick break at the top of the hour. We're going to come back and take phone calls with you. I also want to talk about your new release called The Tao of Mysticism and have you explain to us what that could be. Our special guest is Marilyn Hughes. Her website, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. One of her films, How to Have an Out-of-Body Experience, but she's got a latest one. She's constantly working on films and documentaries. So we'll be back in a moment with her on Coast to Coast AM. And her books, of course, are all on her website at coasttocoastam.com. So don't touch your dial. We will be right back on Coast to Coast AM.